have your Bible with you, and I trust you have. I'll ask you to open it up to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139th Psalm. This one, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, thou acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. The Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow again for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the grace and for the mercy that enables us to meet in this fashion on another Sunday morning. We thank Thee also for Thy Word, which we are able to read, no one daring to make us afraid, no one interfering with us. We thank Thee for the liberty that we enjoy in this land. But now we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou shalt take the Word today and seal it home upon every heart. And grant, O God, that each of Thy children shall be strengthened and edified, and that some poor struggling soul shall come to trust the Savior at this time. We ask it, giving thanks in His worthy name. Amen. Now, if you were to take time to read through the whole of this psalm, I'm sure you would come to the conclusion that the expressions of it are majestic. Now, when you think of it, how could a little shepherd boy, uneducated in the schools of men, be able to sit down and pose such truths that are found in this psalm? The only answer is that under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, holy men of old wrote as they were moved or borne along by that Spirit. And here David seems to be gripped with the thought of the greatness of God. Wouldn't it be a good thing if everybody today was gripped with these thoughts? How great is our God? As he opens the psalm, he's thinking of the omniscience of God, that this God that he knew all things. And if God was conversant with all things, then he knew David. Not only knew about him, but he knew what David was thinking. You know, there are some folks today who make that kind of profession, and they'll charge you a lot of money for it too if you go to see them, and they'll try to tell you they know what you're thinking. But the only way that I know what people are thinking is when they speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You tell what a person's thinking when they speak. Or, perhaps, if you watch them and what they do. But God knows the very thoughts of our heart before ever we express them. And before ever we act according to our thoughts, God knows all about them. He knows, as it were, when these thoughts are born in our mind. Thou hast searched me and know me, says David, thinking of the omniscience of our God. There's not a thing hidden from God. He knows it all. But then, as you come further down, he begins to think of the omnipresence of God. And it's right there that we want to take our text for our study this morning. In verse 7 it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? It's not, of course, that David was thinking that he wanted to flee from God's presence, not at all. But he seems to be captured with the very thought that it is impossible to get away from God. No matter how much a person may try it, they may try to run from God, they may try to hide from God, but they'll find that such a thing is absolutely impossible. David said, no matter how high I may climb, if it was possible for me to go up into the heavens, still I couldn't get away from God. I'd find God's holiness and God's glory up there. If it were possible for me to go down into hell, I would find God's justice there. And no matter where I would go on earth, north, south, east, or west, I would find their expressions of God's mercy and God's grace. Impossible, says David, to get away from God. But I want to take that thought today and press it home for a little while. Running away from God. I wonder how many people today are trying to do this. Oh, I know it's possible for people to run away from home. It's not the first time that some young fellow has thought that the home was too straight for him. Father was too strict, perhaps, to make demands from him that he wasn't prepared to meet, so he packs his grips and off he goes. And I'll not tell them I'm going, but I'm going. Oh, it's not the first one's done that. They run away from home. And the strange thing is, most of them who run away from home, they run from the country into the city. They seem to think that getting into the city, they'll get lost, as it were. No one will know them. They'll not be found. Get away from home. But they're not long away from home till they discover this, that their own bed was the best one, and the food their mother put on the table was the best food. But still, they run away from home. And many of them stay away and never come back. I wonder, what is it that causes people to try to run away from God? Apart from running away from home, I have known some young boys who run away from school. But unfortunately for them, they had to come back and bear the punishment for running away. Of course, they don't punish them now in the way they used to. It's a great pity, but still, you used to get punished for these kind of things. But what is it that causes people to try to run away from the things of life? That is, to run away from the responsibilities in life. To run away from their duty in life. What is it that causes people to try to run away from God? Now, as I ask that question, I want to turn it into myself and to you for a moment or two. Is it possible that you have tried to run away from God? Is it possible you have tried to get away from responsibilities in life? Some young people, you know, think that all they need to do is get married and that'll be the end of all the problems. And then they waken up. And then after they're married and they're facing the problems, they think the only way of getting rid of them is to get out. And they leave their wife and children. That's not the end of their problems, that's only the beginning of it. But different things come into people's lives, and instead of facing the things of life, and instead of facing their accountability to God and to their fellows, they seem to think that they all just turn away and run. And everything will come all right. Now let me try and illustrate these things from three characters that we'll read of in the Bible. Men who tried to run away from God. The first one, his name was called Jacob. Now he had a good enough home. In fact, he was the pride of his mother. His mother thought there was nobody like her little boy, Jacob. She doted on him from the very start. Of course, he had a twin brother called Esau. His father thought there was nobody like him. He was his father's favorite. But Jacob was his mother's favorite. They grew up in a home where everything was supplied for him. And I believe for a great time that God would be reverenced in that home. But there came the day when he ran away from home. Now you stop for a moment and ask yourself this question, because you've read the story over and over again. You were taught it perhaps in Sunday school. You could almost go through the life of Jacob and the different incidents in his life. Let me ask you. Why did he run away from home? Who was to blame for it? Oh, I know it's perfectly true that his brother threatened him. He said, just you wait. When my father is dead, I'll take revenge on you. And I'll kill you. But he was just as big a fellow as his brother. They're both the same age. And no doubt he could have stood up to his brother if he had wanted to. But he didn't. He packed his grips and ran away from home. Not only did he run away from home, he was running away from God. He was not prepared to face the responsibilities in the home and his accountability to God. You see, he knew he had got the blessing. And if he had God's blessing, he should have stayed where he was. Instead of that, he ran away. Running away from God on his first night out. He was out there in the meadow. Wasn't in a bed. Wasn't in a home. No hotels, no motels. Lay down on the green grass with a stone for a pillow. I don't know if you've ever slept out all night. It's a great experience. I know. I remember some years ago, my My brother-in-law asked me if I'd like to go fishing with him all night. And we did. And we left and we climbed the hills. Walked for about 2 miles over the hills. It was getting dark. It was midsummer, of course, and where we were, it didn't get dark till 11 o'clock. And by 11 o'clock, we lay down on the grass, drew our coats around us to have a little sleep. Not that I slept. Tried it. First night out. I was glad when saw daylight beginning to come over the horizon. We're going to start fishing. I've never forgot that night out. I thought of Jacob. First night out. They lay down there. He began to dream. And this is what he found out. He ran away from home and wandered away so far, so many miles. Lay down to try and get a night's sleep. God was after him. He could not run away from God. And God spoke to him that night in his sleep. Gave him a dream. And in the morning he said, why? This is an awful place. I didn't even know that God was in this place. It's called Bethel. It seems to me that that was the morning after that night. Then he began to get to grips with God. But why did he? Was it because his brother threatened him? Was that the root cause? May I suggest what it was? It was because of deception in his own life. He was a deceiver. He deceived his own father. Told lies to his own father. Deceived his old blind father. And then he played a very deceptive part with his brother as well. You see, deception was his nature. It came out later on. He knew how to handle business in a deceptive way with his uncle as well. And because of that deceptive nature, he tried to run away from God. But God followed him. And even for the 20 years he was away in his uncle's place, God was still after him. And God spoke to him and said, Jacob, get back home. Get back to Bethel. You can't run away from God and be at ease. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? My friend, is it possible that lying somewhere in the background of your life there is some kind of deception? Perhaps it was yourself that created that deception. Or perhaps someone else has deceived you, but because of this spirit of deception, you've decided you don't want anything to do with God. And you don't want anything to do with the Word of God. And you don't want anything to do with these people who are always preaching about God. You're just going to shut your ears. And you're just going to shut your life. And pursue your own course. And you'll be trying to run away from God, trying to run away from your accountability to God. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? You can't get away from it, friend. If you could even go to the moon, you'd find God was still there. It's his moon. Go where you like on this earth. You'll find God there. God is everywhere. Not that God is everything. Oh no. God isn't creation. The creation belongs to God. God is the creator. But you cannot run and hide from God. Even Adam tried it in the very beginning when he sinned. He tried to hide from God, and God came after him and said, Adam, where art thou? Jacob battled. Perhaps there's a backslider here this morning. Someone that once professed at one time to trust the Lord, but you haven't been living like a Christian. You've been out of touch. Perhaps God is speaking to you this morning, telling you you can't flee from God. It's time to get matters put right again. Let's think of another man. This man was a very good man. His name was Elijah. An outstanding character in the Word of God. A man that God raised up for a particular work. And after he had a brilliant career, he challenged all the prophets of Baal. They challenged the nation of Israel one day. He said, why do you halt between two opinions? Why has to be one thing on the Lord's day and something the rest of the week? He said, you can't do it. Make up your mind, one thing or the other. How long is he between two opinions? If God be God, follow him and obey him. But don't try to. Great challenge he brought to God's people. But you know, one day he ran away. And he was not in the place where God wanted him. You see, when God had told them, Elijah, I want you to go way down now to the brook Kereth. Stay there as long as I tell you. And I'll look after you there. Then one day God spoke to him again and said, it's time to leave. I want you to go right across the country now, way up to Sidon. There's an old widow woman there who's going to look after you. And he went, and God looked after him while he was there. And then God told him to go and show himself to the king. Go and see Ahab. Tell him the truth. And whenever he obeyed God, God blessed him. But one day he got out of touch and he ran away. Very strange thing. If you and I had met him on the way and said, Elijah, where are you going? I thought you were the great man of God. Oh, I'm going away. I want to rest. I'm going away. Hide. But he couldn't get out of touch with God. God was after him. And he found him sleeping. You see, he got Jacob when Jacob was asleep. And he got Elijah when he was asleep. Sleeping under a tree. And God says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? I suppose God was to say that to you today or to me. What are you doing here? Could we give a reasonable answer? Suppose God was to come and ask you that someday during the week. What are you doing here? Suppose God was to ask us that today in connection with our life on this earth. What are we doing here? Wasting our years? What are you doing here, Elijah? Now, why had Elijah run away from God? Such a great man. A man who had been used of God. The great prophet. And Elijah says, oh, I'm finished with it all. Just let me die. You know, God wouldn't even let him die. He took him to heaven without dying. A wonderful thing to watch the last day of this man's life. The journey he took and how he went up into the glory without dying. But oh, on the day when he was running away from God, it was different. What caused this man to try to run away from God? What made him think he could run away from God and run away from his responsibilities? I tell you. The man was down in the very depths of despondency. Have you, my friend, ever been despondent? Have you? Then ask yourself this, what was it that made you become despondent? And in the depths of your despondency, what did you think was the best thing to do? See, what I'm suggesting is this, that when we reach that stage and we ever become despondent, the right thing to do and the best thing to do is turn to God and cast your burden upon the Lord and leave it there. That's what the Bible tells us. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But instead of that, is it possible that like Elijah, we turn and run, thinking, oh yes, I'll just go now and I'll leave it all, and I'll get away from it all. Despondency can take you further down and further down, but still you can't get away from God. I wonder how many people today have turned into the paths of sin, all because they've been despondent. You know, some people are very strange. They have troubles in life, we must admit this. But notice how many of them turn to alcohol to try and drown their responsibilities, trying to drown their worries. Fellow used to tell me, he says, Bill, if you've never been drunk, he says, you don't know what you've missed. He says, when I see you drunk, I know what I've missed. He said, I get drunk every Friday night. In fact, the matter was, he would have got drunk on Saturday night as well if he had the money. Spent it all the Friday night, could only afford to get drunk once a week. He lived for that, to get drunk. Some people will not go for the alcohol, but they're going today for the drugs. Why? Is it because they're not satisfied with life as it is? Is it because someone has deceived them? And they're down in the depths of despondency? And they want this thing that's going to lift them up, they think. And so they've turned to the drugs. Well, you and I know how it leaves them. It's not the answer to their problem. And it was not the answer to Elijah's problem to run away from God. Of course he was threatened. He was threatened by an ugly, sinful, jealous woman. She threatened to take his life. Now he was a man who had stood out against all the prophets of Baal, 300 of them. A man who took his stand against the whole nation and spoke the truth for God. And he couldn't face one woman. If he just left her to God, God dealt with her. And she had an awful end. While Elijah was taken up to heaven without dying. But you see, he was down, he was despondent, and tried to run away from God. Let's look at another man. We've looked at Jacob. Because of deception, he was running away, had to come back. Elijah, down in despondency, until he heard the still, small voice of the Lord. And that was the turning point in bringing him back to complete his work. But here's another man whose name was Jonah. Oh, I know you've all heard of Jonah. And Jonah tried to run away from God. Why? Simply because of disobedience. Jonah heard the word of the Lord. He knew what God was saying. He knew the orders that God was giving. But he decided he would not accept God's word. He was not going to be controlled by what God said. After all, the Bible's not going to tell me how I have to live my life. You know the idea. But the Bible says, I don't care what the Bible says. You know what? You've met those kind of people, haven't you? I don't believe that. I'm going to do it my way. Are you? That's what Jonah thought. Jonah was a man who was disobedient. He refused to bow to the command of God. God says, Jonah, I want you to go over there and I want you to do a work for me in that city of Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm not going. And he ran in the opposite direction, but remember this, because he was running away from God, it cost him something. He paid an awful price. And he thought he was doing fine. Of course, he got down there to Joppa and he'd be all exhausted. But my, wasn't it fine when he got to Joppa, he found a ship there, just ready to sail. And they were just looking for another passenger. He just got in perhaps for the last bunk. And he got, but he paid the fare. I've always noted that. He had to pay the fare. But he was running away from God, and he must have thought, when the anchor was taken up, and the sails lifted and out went the ship, it's all right now. I'm away. Nobody will get me now. Even God can't find me here. All right. So he got down into the ship, got into his bunk, and went to sleep. And God got him while he was sleeping. And God sent a terrific storm. And Jonah was awakened out of his sleep to find there was a storm there with a lot of angry seamen. And before they were finished, they had to lift up Jonah and throw him out into the Mediterranean Sea, where the storm was raging. But you know, God was still after him. And God had prepared a great fish. And it swallowed Jonah, but it couldn't stomach him. He was running away from God. And God dealt with him. And when the fish brought him to dry land again and put him out, he was willing then to do what God ordered him to do. And he learned his lesson, you cannot run away from God. But why was he running away? Because of disobedience. He was a disobedient man. Why is it today that men and women are trying to run away from God? Because of disobedience. They will not obey the word of the Lord. You see, that word obedience is a similar word to the word you often hear, believe. Who had believed our report? Isaiah asked that question. Paul says, why does Isaiah ask that question? Because they have not all obeyed. You see, the gospel has been preached now for over 1900 years. But all the people who hear the gospel don't believe. In fact, a very, very small number of them believe. They have not all obeyed the gospel. And if they're not obedient to the word of the Lord, then it means they're like Jonah, they're disobedient. They're turning their back upon God and upon God's word, and they're trying to run away. Jacob tried to run away because of that awful spirit that was in him of deception. Perhaps you're running away because of deception. You may have deceived somebody and you're trying to hide it. You're trying to keep out of the clutches of God. You don't want God to take anything to do with you. For the Bible says it's only the fool who has said in his heart, "No God for me." See, after all, come back to the psalm. We've got to face the fact of God's omniscience. He knows all. We've got to face the fact of God's omnipresence. He's everywhere and he can find us. Go further down the psalm and we'll learn something about God's omnipotence. God is all powerful. And you cannot get run away from God without having some severe consequences. The way of transgressors is hard. That being so, my friend, why don't you face up to the great situation today? Sooner or later, you've got to face your God. If not in this life, then after death, appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. We've got to do with God. It's better to do with God now and have the issue settled than to wait till it's too late. You cannot run away from God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we ask that even now thou shalt make each of us conscious of the fact that we are accountable to a holy, eternal God. Oh God, grant that some poor struggling soul today shall be prepared to turn to thee and cast themselves upon thee for salvation. Hear us in these things for his own blessed name's sake. Amen. Let's sing two verses of a hymn in closing.